Hi, Barb.
Hello.
You own Inclusive Arts?
I do own Inclusive Arts.
How long have you been here?
We just passed the 5th year in October, so just over 5 years now.
What was the idea behind Inclusive Arts?
Inclusive Arts, my idea was to offer a creative space where it truly was inclusive. And that was reaching out to a lot of community organizations for people who are supported in the community, that they can come in at an affordable price and have the opportunity to do art, and to also give back to the community as much as we can through organizations like the Pride organizations and just people who do good in our community. So I truly wanted an accessible community space.
The inclusivity isn't the arts itself, but it's the people.
It is.
Well, that's interesting.
I think art really is all about the people, though, because without the people, there's no art, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's who comes through the door kind of dictates what we do here, right?
So what do you do here?
We do all kinds of stuff. We have everyday walk-in ceramic paintings. So that is a molded ceramic that's already been kiln-fired. And you can come in and you pick whichever one you want. And you pick your colors. You can sit down and paint here. You can take it home and paint it. You can paint with glaze and have it kiln-fired. You can use our stain products, which don't require a kiln, so you can take it home and it doesn't have to come back if you use those. So that is our all-day, everyday activity. And then we offer classes in the evening working with clay. So a lot of hands-on sculpting, making functional pieces. Pottery mugs is my most popular class. I do that one probably 3-4 times a month. So you register for that, you come in, we're working with clay, it's fully instructed, and yeah, you end up making a pretty cool mug that you can use. What's the project? So we do sculpting things, garden gnomes, mushrooms, vases, platters, you name it. So anything you can kind of think of that's doable with clay for beginners, we try to offer it. So there's a whole class calendar on our website if you are interested to see what's coming up for the month, which is www.inclusive-arts.com. You'll find the whole calendar. It's usually showing classes for the next month or so, and then it just keeps getting added to. So it'll show a number of classes, but if you check back in a couple of weeks, there'll be more on there. So you can kind of get an idea of what's coming up.
So how would people contact you? Do you prefer email, phone?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You can call us. You can email me. You can go to our website. There's contact through that. And, of course, we've got all the social media. So you'll find our Facebook page, our Instagram page, and all of those. If you see the events listed in Facebook, it'll have a link you can click, which will take you to the website. And then you can see the classes and things. So Facebook is another great place to check for classes because you can list them as events through Facebook. So it'll come up in community events that are coming up in the next week, and you can kind of sort those by things you're interested in. So you'll find all our classes on there as well. So we're pretty easy to find, and you can walk in and talk to me anytime.
Are you from the area?
I was born and raised here, but I left after graduation. I was away for a long time, and I've been back now about 15 years. So I kind of traveled and adventured and ended up back here to raise my kids. So
I was going to say, what brought you back?
Yeah, well, my family's all here. So, you know, your parents and grandparents at that time were still here. And I had a great job offer at the time. I was working at the hospital. So I ended up, it was a good move for my kids and me. And so we came and, yeah, somehow we never left again. So here we are.
Was there anything in particular or any day when you suddenly decided, you know, I want to open a store to do with the arts?
I feel like it was kind of faded in some ways. I mean, arts has been my love my whole life, and I've never had the opportunity to make a living from the arts. So it was always trying to squeeze that in after work, on a weekend, between raising kids. And then having a business that focused on the arts was really a passion project, a dream. And I ended up meeting a girl in town who was local at that time. Her name was Charisse, and she had a pottery studio at the old Canadian Tire building, which everyone calls it, which is now called Westgate Plaza. So she used to have a pottery studio in the upstairs. And so I was working with her in there and teaching classes for her in that space. And then she decided she was going to move away. So it was kind of one of those things of, do you want the studio or not? I'm leaving. And I ended up buying her out. But I thought to make it really a viable business, it had to change locations. It needed to be more accessible. If you were ever in there, it was up a big narrow staircase and nobody knew it was there. It's a great space, but it wasn't visible because even if you went into the main plaza, it wasn't there. It was up a back staircase. So coming down here was essential to make it a viable business for me. So now I'm right downtown across from the art gallery on Hudson. And it's a great location. I was super lucky. It's kind of become our little art corner here in town, which is really fun. So yeah, it was just one of those big life decisions of, do you jump away from your secure 9-to-5 and take a chance, or do you stick with what's safe? And I thought, well, it's now or never. It was just one of those things. If I don't do it now, I probably never will. So I took a chance, and yeah, 5 years, we're still here. So knock wood. Made it through COVID. Made it through the fires, and yeah.
How did that go for you?
COVID was really hard because I had just established the business, being here 5 years. That was like kind of just getting things really, really going. And what I was doing was 95% classes in person. I had very little retail. I did not have as much walk-in projects. So the studio survival was classes, and then that didn't exist anymore overnight. So what do you do, right? So it was a lot of reinvention and creativity. I came up with subscription boxes for art projects that I filmed tutorials, and you could sign up online, and they got mailed to your house, and they had everything in them that you needed for your project, and a link to a video tutorial so you could follow along, and promoted that, and it did quite well, actually. It was a lot of work for one person, but it kept me alive, I guess you could say. And that has been phased out now since I'm back open, because the whole point is to do it in person here, and it's too much to do both. So I'm back to in person, but if it wasn't for being creative and swerving, I don't think I'd be here. I think anyone who survived had to be creative, basically. I did some home deliveries, driving in my car, dropping off in doorsteps, like little painting kits for people, and yeah.
Well, I guess that would be the one thing, is people would be bored at home
exactly.
If they were stuck. So
yeah, and I found that the subscription boxes did really well with all the kids were homeschooling, and they all needed arts programs to do projects, and a lot of parents didn't know what to do for art. So it was like, oh, here's this handy package, has everything we need, and someone else is going to teach them. So I did very well with that, because everybody suddenly was a homeschooler as well. So it was a weird time. Doesn't seem real now when you look back, does it? It's like, did that really happen? But I'm finding this year, I feel like it's just for my business model anyways, of the classes and doing things. This is the first year I've actually seen a comparable to before COVID. Like, it's taken this long to mm-hmm. come out of it, to kind of reestablish like your regulars, to get your programs functioning, to get people back in the door. And it's all new people, because you have to reestablish an entire new client base again. So I feel like I've started over 3 times. But each time you get smarter. I think you do it.
Well, I guess you learn what works
yes.
and what doesn't, and you don't
exactly.
go back and use the things that didn't work.
A lot of trial and error. But mm-hmm. I think we've got the good model right now, and the classes have been really well attended since after Christmas, which has been wonderful to see people coming back in. And yeah, so things are kind of looking up, and we're hoping that come summertime, the fires don't send everybody home, because that was the last summer. Everybody lost their tourists, right? Whereas mm-hmm. that's what I don't have really a lot of retail items. It's more come in and have an experience and do something. And if you don't have the people out and about wanting to do things, you have no business, right? So it's not like you're selling beverages or coffee or things that people are going to grab. It's like you need to be out wandering about in the fresh air,
yeah.
looking for something to do, right?
So that's interesting in that you say you don't have a lot of products to sell, because I know we're sitting here looking at a lot of
figurines
that need to be painted and decorated. So that's basically what your store's about, is coming in and creating something from...
Absolutely. It's an experience. It's something to do. So the thing I love about the painted ceramics is that it's an age equalizer. I always think of it as I have people come in, and you'll have the great grandma, the mom, and the little grandkids. Everybody picks something that personally interests them, and they all have an equally fun time doing that project. And there's not a lot of things like that. A lot of things for kids, you're taking them and you're watching them play in the ball pit, or you're spectating the kids' activities. And it's a really neat one, because everybody enjoys it the same. And there's not a lot of things like that, I don't think.
That's really cool, because I always just thought it was an art store. You know, you have a lot of stuff in here,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, you're inclusive arts. So I just
yeah.
figured you would just...
The one thing that comes to mind that's similar, perhaps, is the Makerspace program.
Mm-hmm.
They have a program where
yeah.
it's cross-generational
Yes, that you can come with your child and do the same thing together.
And yeah. Learn I know, something, yeah.
Yeah, my sister did a woodworking one with her grandson, and it was just kind of neat that they went in there, and I think they made flower boxes or something, but it was really cute that they did it together, yeah.
Cool.
So, I mean, and I do have art products in here. I do carry, I've tried to stock a little bit of really hard to find things. Being Salmon Arm, like, you find that we don't have a big art store here. So, like, there was no one selling alcohol inks, and people want alcohol inks. So, I've got a selection of that. The metallic rub and buff waxes, nobody has those in town. So, I have a little wall of those. So, there are some gems in here, and I do sell, I have a Bobbini macrame cord account, which is really special cord if people are into macrame. It's very different than what you'll find on Amazon. I import it from Europe. It comes from Poland. They're all handmade. It's 100% eco-friendly cotton. So the cord itself, even the colored cord, is safe up to baby products, so babies can suck on them. Like, it's all recycled natural cotton, and it's so soft. So I am very excited to have that. And it doesn't really fit with pottery, but it's something that we don't have in town, and people are crazy about macrame. So you can come in and grab lots of cord here too. So I do have some oddballs, mm-hmm. things in here, but it's more people come in and they say, I can't find this anywhere. And I'm like, well, let me look and I'll see if I can bring a little bit. I'm not a big space. I can't stock walls of things, but mm-hmm. you need two or three. I might be able to get you two or three or stock a small selection. So, but yeah, I've got a few people who come in, and one girl, Shauna, her name is, I don't know her last name, but she teaches some macrame classes. I do macrame classes here about twice a month just to show people how to use the cord and stuff. So you can find those on our class page too if you want to learn macrame. So
interesting. Yeah. Macrame was really big like decades ago.
Painting ceramics was too. Everybody's grandma did it.
So it's a circle. It's come back.
It is. Yeah. It's reinvented into like the macrame cord. Like everybody did macrame, but the colors now and the type of cord, mm-hmm. it's a modern take on an old craft that people love. So it's old, but it's new. And the ceramic stuff too. Like there's some molds that are really old that have been around since the 70s. And you can, like, I've had people come and say, I painted this when I was 15 or, you know, 10 with my grandma, and it's still around. And then there's some stuff that's super modern and new and kind of, so there's a real mix.
Yeah. I think I saw Darth Vader over there.
Oh, there is. And there's an R2-D2. I've got some Iron Man, and the dragons are super popular. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a real mix of things. Mushrooms, everyone's mushroom crazy right now, so I've got lots of mushrooms to paint.
You had mentioned accessibility regarding your last location, and obviously this location is ideal for accessibility. So accessibility being part of inclusivity, do you think accessibility is given enough priority, or do you think it's overlooked in, say, like a downtown environment, a business environment, such as Salmon Arm?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I know people want to be inclusive, for sure. I think the organizations that I work with, if you're speaking of inclusivity as in like SACL, places like that, I don't think there are a lot of affordable activities for community building. There's like outdoor things and stuff, but to actually come in, they come in here like really frequently, about once a week I'll have at least one group come in. So it would be nice to see more things like that where you could come in and experience something, community build. Other inclusivity, like I'm right in front of the Rainbow Sidewalk, and you have the people, I stock Pride items in my store just because it's needed in our community, and I get a lot of teens who come in. I've got the flags, I've got buttons, stickers, pins. But then, you know, you'll have the, in the middle of the daytime, big trucks go by and do burnouts across our beautiful rainbow crosswalk. So there's work to do in the community, but
I was curious more specifically about accessibility, like, for example, some people in a wheelchair being able to access a business or a sidewalk or a curb, you know.
Oh, I see what you mean. I think downtown is as good as it can really be right now, because I mean, it's all mostly flat. All the businesses are mostly ground level, so that's a plus. But you're also dealing with old buildings downtown. So I find, like, I have a nice flat entryway. You can get wheelchairs and big strollers and things through here, but my bathroom is tiny. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't feel like my bathroom is ideal without a major renovation to be able to get wheelchairs and things in. So I do think that that's a little bit of a struggle when you're dealing with old infrastructure.
But it is open enough for someone with a wheelchair to come
in. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, I just wish I had a better bathroom. And once I finish my COVID recovery here, maybe we can do some renos and try to beef it up a little bit more.
Well, this is the thing with cost run-ins and wanting to have that availability. It usually falls on the small business owner too.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Whereas too bad there wasn't more of a...
Yeah, grants towards accessibility would be amazing for sure. Because in a heartbeat, I have changes I would do if I had some funding to do it.
Well, this has been an ongoing issue for decades everywhere, I think.
Yeah.
So I know there's members of the community that wish there was an improvement in some infrastructure.
Well, I guess talking about it is the most important thing because... until you realize it's an issue for somebody, you don't realize you need to have something that needs fixing, right? So
that's
conversations
true.
Are the best way to make that change happen.
And that awareness, which comes through inclusivity, because some people might not even be aware of those.
Exactly. The people that come in, I know where there might be a struggle with accessibility to my space because I see who my clients are, who comes in, who supports the business, and hopefully everybody does all they can.
We've talked to some business owners that have been in a different location and prefer their new one for that reason,
right?
For access, whether it's seniors being able to access a hill with ice or something. Mm-hmm. So I think there is an awareness in Salmon Arm, but
until someone steps up and really pushes for change
and can maybe put up the money or something.
That's the other thing, too.
Yeah, it's been a tough few years for people, for sure. I mean, we've seen an awful lot of doors shuttered in the last year downtown. Mm-hmm. And then beautiful new ones opening. But it's been a tough go with recent events of recent years. But accessibility, I wouldn't even have done this business without being somewhere where people could easily get in and access, because it's the whole idea of the space.
So do you get a lot of walk-in traffic then?
I do. Spring break was nuts. It's a little quieter when school's in the daytime, unless you're a group coming in for a booking or a home. I do homeschool group classes as well, so a lot of homeschoolers will arrange and bring 10 kids in and we'll get the clay out and play. So those kind of things keep me busy in the day. But summertime, the majority is just walk-in traffic. It's you just don't know what's going to happen. Some days you sit here and it's deserted, and some days you're just bombarded. So, as soon as school's out, though, it makes a big difference because a lot of families come in here. I think we serve mostly families. Kids love it. You see them go by and the parents are dragging them along. They're like pointing, look, cool stuff. It is very fun.
If people were on their summer vacation and they're walking around Salmon Arm and the kids point to here and they dropped in, what would be the average time they would spend here to do a project?
Usually tell people 90 minutes. You can do it in less, but you can take a lot more than that. There's no time limit to coming in. You're not paying to sit here and do it. You're just paying for your project. But I say 90 minutes, then you're not rushed. It does take time to pick what you want to paint. And then if you're handpicking your colors, it takes time before you even sit down. You might waste 20 minutes. So a good 90 minutes, because we have so many visitors from out of town. I'll find in the summer, Mondays are really busy. And I think it's all the people who are out in the lake come in for supplies and they drop the kids off here and they go and do their errands and come back and they have a masterpiece done. And I also have the take-home kits. So I have little kits that I make that come with a figurine and colors and a brush and gloss all ready to go. So it's also a great one you can just pick up and take camping or something. Like, it's just something to keep people busy. So summer is definitely much busier once the kids are out.
I see you do have a kiln.
I do.
A piece of pottery, you fire it for several hours, isn't that?
Yeah, right? So it depends on what kind of clay you're using and for what temperature and how long it's going to take. So if you came in and made a mug, it's got to go through two kiln firings before it's ready to go home. So you're going to make your piece, and then at first it has to dry. So it can take about a week to be dry. If it's not dry and there's any moisture in there, it is going to blow in the kiln. So you have to be patient. it'll go in for a bisque firing, which is your first firing, which turns it into kind of like a ceramic, a dry white. And that firing takes about 12 to 13 hours and then another 24 to cool down enough you can open it. And then it will be glazed, and then it goes again. And the glaze fire usually takes about 6 or 7 hours and then another day to cool down. So nothing happens quick with pottery.
So have all these have their first firings?
These are all the molded figurines have gone through once. So that's why they don't need to go again. They only need to go again if you want to paint with glaze. And then the glaze would need the kiln to fire out the glaze.
That's part of the whole pottery experience, the glaze.
It's fun. Yeah. And you never know because the glaze does change. So when you paint it, it's not going to look anything like it's going to look. So it's pretty fun when people come to pick up because it's like it's changed so much and it's shiny and usable. So
yeah, I don't know if they do pottery in school anymore, but we did some and with the glaze. And I always remember it's something that sticks with you your whole life.
Yeah, because you might paint it with something that looks dark red and you get it back and it's baby blue. So the glazes can change a lot. Yeah. Yeah, it's super fun. I think that both the high school and the middle school here have kilns and do pottery. I'm pretty sure. So it's kind of cool that the kids, I'll get kids who come in and say, I did this in school, and they kind of know what they're doing. So it's fun.
So do you have much interaction with the other stores in your vicinity?
Oh, yeah. Good neighbors. I'll do a little plug for my new neighbor. The business next to me is now called Mi Casa Home and Craft. And she just opened up on Sunday, on Easter Sunday. And it's to go in a studio to go in and make your own candles, which is pretty cool.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
So everybody go check her out. She's awesome. Her name is Mary, and it's a beautiful space, and they're just getting going. So it's another space where you can go in and do something. And I believe they're going to have pretty regular classes over there. And yeah, up and down the street, we kind of all know each other and look out for each other and, you know, for good things and bad things, you can kind of give each other a heads up. And yeah, it does feel like a little community down here. And yeah, we've got some great business owners on the street. Linda and Jamie from Remarket, plug for Remarket, are amazing. She always is coming in and giving me the gossip, which I love. So come downtown if you haven't for a long time, because there's some really great people and great businesses down here.
Have you heard about the First Fridays?
Yes.
And are you going to?
I will be open on the Fridays. I'll probably have classes those evenings. So I often run classes on Friday evenings. So the doors are always open when there's a class going on. So you're welcome to come in and browse and see what we're doing. So yeah, you should be able to find us open most Fridays, most First Fridays and most other Fridays too, depending on the schedule. Class nights here tend to be anywhere from usually Wednesday and Thursdays are my evening class slots for adults.
How long do you stay open till?
It depends on the project. Sometimes we're here till 7:38. Sometimes it's 10. So it just depends how quick people are. The macrame can be a late night. So we open a little bit later. I don't open until 11 just because you get a lot of late nights too. So a little bit later start, but we make up for it in the evening.
Do you do holiday themed projects?
Oh gosh, yeah. Christmas is a big one. I bring in a bunch of the retro Christmas trees that have the little lights light up, which everyone are very nostalgic and everyone remembers. So I sold out of those in about 4 days this last year. I underestimated how many people wanted those trees, and then I felt bad. So next year I'll have to have a lot more. So those are super popular. And then...
Are those the ones with the little light bulb?
Yeah. So you plug in the base light and they all light up. And everyone's grandma had one of those trees, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, you can come do those in all sizes at Christmas. And I have tons of ornaments, Christmas tree ornaments. So they're small, they're inexpensive. They're wonderful for kids to paint for gifts to grandparents and stuff because they made it. It's beautiful. It goes on your tree every year. So I usually have hundreds of those to choose from. Do it as a package. And then there'll be nights of classes. Yeah, lots and lots of fun at Christmas. Easter a little bit, not as much. And Halloween, I always have some spooky stuff too. So I like Halloween. So there's usually some lanterns and neat stuff going on, holiday themed.
You get many kids in on the treat trail?
Oh my gosh, yes. Not last year was a little bit less. The first treat trail I did, I had 2,000 chocolates and I ran out. Yeah, in 2 hours. It's like dealing cards. They go so fast. You're just like, yeah. Last year, I think we had about 1,500 kids come through. So it is so much fun, though. Like all the costumes and it's daylight so you can see. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I love it. So yeah, we always participate in that and try and decorate a little bit up, and we will be doing that this year again for sure.
Do you do any pride related projects, being with the rainbow crosswalk outside your door and also the Loud and Proud sets up right outside here?
I've been a sponsor of the Pride Festival since it started, so I'm quite involved with them. I have a really good relationship with the gallery. It's right across the street, and the gallery spearhead the Loud and Proud and that week of Pride celebrations. I've done the little gnome nights with them as one of their events every year, so it's like these little gnomes, and you come and attend. The gallery sponsors some of it, and I sponsor the rest, and people can paint little, like they do the pride flags on the hats and stuff, so we make these little gnomes, and then I just monetarily sponsor the festival too and help where I can. So yeah, been involved with that one as a sponsor. It's a good one.
Have you seen the festival growing year to year?
Yeah, and because they had to make it through COVID and everything too, right? Mm-hmm. So it changed everything. But yeah, and I think this year's exciting. I haven't heard what the final plans are, but I think other organizations in town are going to kind of get involved too, because I know there's Essie's Place and Shoe Shop Pride, and I think it's going to be, might be a bigger thing. I don't know. I'm not involved in the planning, but I hear whispers that it might look a little different this year, but it will be even better, perhaps. We'll see.
Yeah. And of course, the Folk Music Society, which helps out with the stage and the production.
Yeah, and I think Roots and Blues were involved a little bit too, maybe, with some of the, just the setup and sound and stuff, I believe. Yeah, it's a good one. It's really nice to have that in our community. They put a lot of work into that festival.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you find a difference when the festival comes to town? Are there more people around? I mean, it might be a little more difficult to, seeing as you've had such a big challenge.
Every year's been so different. It's hard, like, I couldn't say, but it definitely brings people downtown. Whenever you have, like, a downtown event, like, you're going to draw people. Like, the farmer's market's great on Saturdays. It brings a lot of people downtown. And the festival, too, I'm lucky because it's been right out front, and it's been awesome. But, yeah, definitely some people come from out of town for that. And a lot of the youth and people that I know who come in and support my little pride section and stuff, they come in and get all their regalia to their flags and stuff to wave and wear and stuff. So it definitely brings people downtown. Anything like that's great. Salty Dog too, which is coming up very soon, is right out front on this street. So you'll see Hudson really, really active during that time.
I'll have to try and catch that this year.
It's pretty fun. They do the pie eating contest, which is hilarious. And most years it's pretty out where I can see it. So even if I'm busy, I'm always looking out the window to see people chowing their pies down. It's hilarious. But yeah, it's great to see stuff downtown and keeping it family friendly and a place to go bring your kids and have a good day out. We're really lucky to have it here. We got to work hard to keep it that way, I think.
Do you think there's more that could be done to bring people downtown?
There's always more that could be done. But I think the people who make the things happen that do happen are spread pretty thin, because you have people who are really community involved who put all this work into all of the things. And so they're spread pretty thin. I think having more people participate in making things happen downtown would be great, but everyone is so busy. It's like me, I'm the only one here most days, and if I'm here from 11 until 9 at night, it's pretty hard to organize a festival, right? So everybody's got those restraints of time. Yeah, I think any sponsorship, Downtown Salmon Arm does a great job trying to bring people downtown and make, you know, the Apple Fest, and just there's all kinds of little things, the treat trail, they organize all of that stuff and bring the businesses in, and it's really appreciated. And I think when things are suggested, the businesses usually jump on and support it pretty quick. If someone's got a good idea, like the First Fridays, I think that's one where people are like, yeah, let's give it a try and see. I hope it brings people downtown. But yeah, there are a lot of things that happen downtown. Maybe there is one and I'm not aware, but a big community calendar somewhere that's really visible for people to actually see all of the things. Because, you know, you'll see it'll come up in your Facebook feed or your social media. Oh, there's something going on downtown this weekend. Let's check it out. But
you can actually have a board. Actual
community board downtown that has all the
they used to know.
There probably is, and maybe I don't know, so I shouldn't say that, but
there used to be a board right across the road, the outside the art gallery years ago,
because I do know that people will come in and they'll say, oh, I didn't know that this was happening, like, and or something will have happened and they, well, I never heard about it. So
maybe
there's always work to be done for that. But
maybe it's time to bring the community board back.
Or definitely an all-out social media presence, because everyone's on social media. People aren't reading the local newspaper as much anymore doing that. Like, it's all, a lot of it is social media dependent. So even having something that's sponsored on social media, that so it comes up in locals' feeds, informing this is coming up, would be cool. And even me, I've been here 5 years and I still get, like, every week people coming in saying, oh, I didn't know this was here. How long have you been here? And it's like, oh, 5 years. And, you know, I've done a lot of advertising and community outreach and stuff. So it just shows, like, there is a need to continually promote things because, you know, our population is always shifting. There's always new people, kids age and are in a different bracket of activities. So I think it's a constant information that has to go out to reach everybody. Just because you did it last year or 3 months ago doesn't mean that people are going to remember that that happened. Like, it has to be right there, which is why I appreciate you guys highlighting businesses, because it's like, yeah, you know, there might be people out there who don't know I'm here and what I do. So I really appreciate that.
Have you had customers that come in from out of Salmon Arm that come here because they can't find this anywhere they live?
All the time, yeah. A lot of people from Kamloops will come and they'll stock up and buy a bunch to take home and paint. Yeah, I get there is a place like this in Vernon. So I'll get people who say, oh, we used to drive all the way to Vernon for this. We didn't know this was here. And then they get excited. You'll get some people from Kelowna. And of course, we get lots of tourists in the summer, too. So people who come in, and definitely out Kamloops way. I don't know if there's anyone out in Kamloops doing ceramics. Pottery, I'm not sure if there's anyone else running like pottery programs in a kiln and stuff. And I think most of the businesses are also really conscientious. Like, we kind of want to know what each other has and what you're selling. So to not compete, but support. So it's like, you know, if someone knows I've got this, then they won't necessarily stock it. They'll send people to me. And likewise, like, if people come in looking for like fine art oil paints, I know I'll send them to Salmon Arm Stationery because that's who has it. So it's good that way, because you can refer people to what they need as well without necessarily competing, right? And it's just neighbors helping neighbors, really.
Is there anything we've missed that you'd like to mention?
I would just encourage people to come downtown and check out what's down here, because it changes frequently. And if you've never been in, to not be shy or intimidated that you don't know how to do it, because it's all really easy and I'm here to help and it's just good old fun. So it's not expensive. It's a family activity. Come in and check it out. I think you'll have a good time.
Your telephone number?
Our telephone number is 250-833-2322.
Email address?
barb.inclusivearts@gmail.com.
And you mentioned your website.
Website, yeah. You can just Google Inclusive Arts Salmon Arm and it'll pop right up. Or you can put in, it's just www.inclusive-arts.com.
And what's your street address?
81 Hudson, Northeast.
Great. Well, thank you very much. Thanks. Barb.
Thank you guys so much for coming and doing this. I'm glad we got a little window. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Barb. Appreciate it.